The coastline of colonial America was once a wild and dangerous place, especially if you came across the pirates whose ships plied the waters off the Carolinas. Hi, I'm Rick Steves, and coming up in a bit, an expert on the pirates of the Carolinas tells us where you can trace the history of legendary seafarers like Blackbeard and Captain Kidd, and just how close those Johnny Depp movies are to what it was really like. Let's start out today's Travel with Rick Steves with an insider's look at the deep south of Italy. Two guides from Sicily join us now to help us understand how things work on the island of organized chaos and what the sparse lands in the heel of Italy hold in store for adventurous travelers. About the first thing a child learns about the map of Europe is Italy looks like a boot and Sicily looks like a football. And most of us who love Italy love the center and the north of Italy, and the south of Italy is quite a mystery. Today I want to talk about the boot of Italy, deep down in the south, Puglia, Basilicata, Calabria, and then we'll jump over the straits and check out Sicily. I'm joined by two southern Italians, Alfio Di Moro and Tommaso Ponte. Alfio and Tommaso, thanks for joining us.
Yes.
Sure, our pleasure.
Now, when I say southern Italians, I think you both live in Sicily, don't you?
Yes. Yes.
Is it okay for me to call you Southern Italians, or do you want to be called Sicilians?
Sicilians.
Well, Sicilianity is very important for us.
Your Sicilianity?
Yes,
is that a word?
This is a new word, yeah, Sicilianity.
The Sicilianity in this room is quite exciting right now.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about everything south of Naples, basically, and as tour guides, you know the south of Italy. If we think of the southern part of Italy, there's three regions there, Puglia, Basilicata, and Calabria.
Calabria.
If it's a boot, if you're thinking of a boot with the toe nearest to Sicily, you know, the heel would be Puglia,
yes.
The instep would be Basilicata, and the toe would be Calabria.
That's right.
Now, how would you compare and contrast these three regions in southern Italy, Alfio?
They're pretty much all similar. The only distinction I will make is that Basilicata doesn't really have a long coastline, okay?
Yep.
So it has never been really accessible as the other two regions.
So more remote then?
Yes, more remote.
Tommaso, how would you compare the different regions, Puglia, Basilicata, Calabria?
The mentality is different of the three different regions.
And how's that?
I would say Puglia is much more evoluted.
Huh? Evolved. Yes.
Evolved, yes.
Okay.
For example, Bari is considered the Milan of the South, because all the economical activity are located in Bari.
So the people in Puglia are more sophisticated.
I would say yes.
And Bari is the cosmopolitan capital of Puglia.
Of Puglia, of the southern part of Italy.
B-A-R-I.
Yes.
And
yes.
That's a port town. A lot of us know Brindisi because that's where the boat goes to Greece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just north of Brindisi
is north
Bari.
North. Brindisi.
Okay, so the Puglia people are more sophisticated than Basilicata and Calabria?
Basilicata, I would say they are evolving. I mean, I would put Basilicata in the middle,
uh-huh.
And then Calabria is on the rear.
So that's the Wild West.
Exactly.
The Wild West, yes. Now, these areas are generally, Italy is quite densely populated.
Yes.
What, 60, 70 million people in Italy, the size of California, but less than 1 million people in Basilicata, for instance. So not so many people down there?
Yeah. In Basilicata, no.
Sparsely populated.
Yeah.
From a traveler's point of view, if the history is poor, the sightseeing today is humble. There's no great churches, great memorials, great monuments there because they didn't have a lot of money in the past. Is that a fair generalization?
Yes, I would say yes. I mean, this was one of the poorest area of Italy in general. So they didn't have a lot of money, a lot of immigration. Also, we had a lot of immigrants which emigrated, especially from Calabria and Basilicata, to the United States, Australia.
Very good point. A lot of Americans think about the old country and they think about the region of the old country from where they came as quintessential to the old country. But really, they came from the most wretched part of the old country because it made the most sense to get the heck out.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you've got certain parts of Ireland or Sweden or Italy.
Yes.
That becomes the American image of Italy in this case. But really, it's the American image of Calabria.
Yeah.
Or Puglia.
And you know what happened? Most of the people left from very small town and, you know, a couple of generations just were gone. So only the older people remained there. And after they died, lots of villages became ghost villages.
So you have ghost villages?
Yes, in Calabria
Italy.
And Sicily, you can find lots of ghost villages because of that.
How many Americans are with a Sicilian ancestry?
You know, 1880s, 1920s, things were so bad in Sicily right after unification, and especially in the verge of World War I, that a lot of people left. Now, after so many years, we have 18 million Sicilian Americans in U.S. We have only 5 million Sicilians in Sicily.
So the ancestors of the people who left Sicily are in the United States now to the tune of 18 million people.
Yes. And if I can spend a word about the people that left, if you think for a second, poor condition, no education. The people who left the country were the best people, were the people that didn't want to settle for a poor life.
The people with the strong spirit.
Yeah, strong spirit. You know, because just imagine, Rick, to put everything you own in a little suitcase, pay a lot of money that you sometimes don't have, and do one on a lifetime journey on a steamboat.
And end up in New York, a very rough and tumble city with no
being
money.
Being sometimes in quarantine. Lots of people, they didn't maintain the connection, the contact with the family in Sicily, because guess what? It was too painful. Family is one of our heritage. We are so close together. And being in a new world without any member of the family was something so painful. A lot of people prefer not to write letters because it was killing them.
Our favorite guides from Sicily, Alfio Di Mauro and Tommaso Ponte, are taking us through the deep south of Italy right now on Travel with Rick Steves. You can post your impressions of the region on our radio message board. You'll find that in the radio section of ricksteves.com. Now, what characterizes the cuisine in the deep south there?
The cuisine of the deep south, actually, it is more healthy, okay, versus the cuisine of the north, because that is actually the quintessential Mediterranean diet. That means a lot of carbohydrates, fibers, fat coming from olive oil, not from animal, and fresh vegetables. So it used to be poor, but now actually it is credited to be the more efficient.
Because lifestyles are growing more healthy, and here you got the fruit of the land direct.
Yeah, exactly.
Not Tommaso. Only the food of the land, also the food from the ocean. We must not forget the fish. Fish is one of the most important kind of food that you can find in the southern part of Italy. Swordfish and tuna fish is one of the main courses that we have in our table. You can find every single day fish.
Now, when we think about southern Italy, I think we've got to remember a lot of Americans complain about the prices. You know, Florence and Venice and Milan and Rome are so expensive. What are the prices like in southern Italy, Alfio?
It is still very reasonable there. Okay.
Would it be less expensive than Milano?
Definitely less expensive than the north of Italy or the very big cities.
Tommaso?
Yes, I agree with that, especially if you go in a good restaurant, you never pay more than 15 or 20 euros with an excellent bottle of wine, red or white wine. If you go in the northern part of Italy, probably you spend the double. So in terms of quality, I would say the quality of the food in south of Italy is excellent, and the price is much, much inexpensive.
You get a meal with a bottle of wine?
Yes. I mean, an antipasto, un primo piatto, un secondo, and a bottle of wine, 20 euros.
Get away from the historical center a little bit. Try to go to a small trattoria, local trattoria, where the local people go. Okay.
So you could have a simple rural country in small towns and still have people that appreciate the good cuisine and have restaurants that serve it at the local price standards.
Yes.
For example, a great option is to go to the agriturismo farmhouse.
Oh, yes.
You find a lot of farmhouse and agriturismo in all these three regions, the four regions we're talking about.
Now, when I think of southern Italy, I think the most famous icon visually for a tourist is the Trullo houses. Explain these to me, Tommaso.
So Trullo houses is one of the oldest house in Puglia region. The capital of the Trullo is Alberobello, which is a UNESCO World Heritage
area. So Alberobello.
Yes.
And there you've got more than 1,000 of these whitewashed kind of teepee houses that go back. How old is the architecture, actually?
You can easily still find Trulli that they go to the 1400s. And sometimes they are older than that.
So from Middle Ages, really.
Yeah, but there is a little mystery around the Trulli because nobody really knows exactly from where this kind of architecture come from.
Alfio, describe, so for people who don't know these things, a Trullo house.
It is easy to imagine a Trullo as the walls are cylindrical, and then on top of that you put a roof which is conical.
A conical roof, okay.
Yeah, it is easy to understand why. It is this Trulli were built without mortar. Just with dry stone. If you can imagine, this is the only structure that can sustain itself without mortar.
So you've got limestone slabs stacked in a cylinder on the walls and then a cone on the top.
Yeah, and then there's a keystone on the
top. And it's topped with something of some religious or pagan importance?
Yes, and then there are keystone that lots of representation symbols. Most of them are pagan, but mm-hmm. then with the time they became Christian.
So singular trullo, plural?
Truly.
Truly.
Yeah, and if you want a bigger house, you put more units of this all together.
And then the other big site that comes to mind in southern Italy is Matera. And we know that because of the vivid images from Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, which was filmed in Matera. Tommaso, tell us about Matera.
Matera is a beautiful town, another UNESCO World Heritage. The Sassi of Matera was called in the past the shame of Italy because until 1956-57, you know, the population lived in a very bad condition.
You said the Sassi of Matera. What is the Sassi?
Stones.
The stone what? Houses? Stones.
No, I mean, these are a sort of caves.
So people lived in cave dwellings?
In caves dwelling, yes, made with white limestone.
And it was the shame of Italy because it was so poverty-stricken.
Absolutely.
So people living like animals in these caves.
Animals. They didn't have any sewage system, any running water. I mean, this was absolutely one area where the condition of life were really bad. So the government decided at a certain point to evacuate this population from this area, and they built the
new... And they sent the army there to do that. People didn't want to leave because they didn't know in what kind of condition they were living.
So the army came in, flushed out the people.
Yes.
I would imagine the government gave them nice houses in Potenza or something like
this.
Actually, they built the new district of Matera.
Right there. Ah.
So the government, it made them a deal that, okay, you're going to be out of this poor district. We're going to give you a new house, but then we are going to be the owners of the old district.
And today, from a tourist point of view, it's an interesting place to check out?
Absolutely.
It is a great place to
Absolutely.
Check out.
Why? If you go by night, for example, it looks like a great nativity. You just imagine with your imagination to see Mary, Jesus Christ, and the donkey going through these little steps. This is the imagination and the figure that I have of Matera. And believe me, this, with your imagination, just with a little bit of your imagination, you see all these donkeys coming down. It's really great.
So it takes you right down to biblical times visually, and Mel Gibson saw that and thought, hey, let's make
this
a movie.
This was a great choice for him.
Matera, M-A-T-E-R-A, in Basilicata. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking the boot of Italy, the deep south of Italy, with Alfio Di Moro, Tommaso Ponte, and your calls coming up momentarily as we travel through Italy and we head over to Sicily.